Welcome to Daytime Confidentials, ABC Edition. I am Luke. With me, we have Tina. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Belinda, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
We're going to be discussing everything from All My Children, General Hospital, and One Life to Live, so stay tuned. Okay, well, I had a letter this last week from a General Hospital listener who I believe is a newer listener. And so before we get to the topics of the week, I want to discuss it real quick just because of the fact that for newer listeners who may be finding us recently, they're not aware. In the email, it was pointed out to me that we did not go in depth in terms of the character development last week on Lusam and the fact that Lucky and found out about him being the father. But here's the thing. We record all of these episodes on Saturdays and Sundays. And so the reveal of the paternity of Liz's child came out on Monday. Am I not mistaken? Am I mistaken or am I correct?
You're correct. They opened the door on Friday.
Right. They came.
Everything happened on Monday.
Exactly. So here's the thing. It did not happen till Monday. All the podcasts are recorded on the weekends, and then I edit them and publish them throughout the week. And so we did not have an opportunity to discuss it. That having been said, maybe we were a little bit superficial on some of the things instead of talking about character development. So maybe we'll give that a shot this evening. But for those of you who are new listeners, all episodes are recorded on the weekend and then published throughout the week. So if you don't hear something about the specific week in which you're listening, it's because we don't record about that week until the following Saturday and Sunday.
Right. We're kind of a week behind.
Exactly. Because with as many hours of this as we do, there's just no way to record them all progressively throughout the week.
And post them all on one day.
Exactly. So, with that having been said, let's discuss All My Children. Because this last week, I have to say, I don't know about you, Belinda, but I'm really sort of enjoying the filming style for the outdoor stuff. I don't know what it is, but I'm enjoying it. I like that they have Greenlee on the run. It's good. I'm wondering if Zach has amnesia or not, considering he said, "Thank you, miss." Did you get that impression, or was that something that I'm just thinking about on my own?
Well, I'm sure it could go either way. I'm kind of at a disadvantage for All My Children this week. I didn't get to see as much of it as I wanted to.
Ah.
So I may have to kind of take a back seat to that conversation. But I would say that amnesia is probably a good guess.
Richie was great this last week. Richie continues to be stellar. Absolutely love him.
I think so, too.
He's a great villain. I hope they keep him around, because, boy, does All My Children need a villain. And, you know, someone in the forums had suggested the possibility of Amanda and Richie hooking up, and then my own opinion added to that would be, wouldn't it be awesome to have Janet Dillon and Richie at Thanksgiving dinner trying to carve a turkey and fighting over who it would be? I mean, that would be awesome. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, just sitting them both in the same room and allowing the hijinks to ensue.
Exactly.
It would actually add a comedic factor that All My Children seems to have been missing.
Oh,
they do
most definitely.
Seem to not address things in a comedic way on All My Children.
Because it used to be that when Rebecca Buttock was around, and I hate to bring up Greenlee because Lisa will give me a hard time about it, but seriously,
yes.
when the first Greenlee was around with Kendall, there was a lot of comedy, especially with Simone thrown into the mix and things. There was a lot of comedy back then, but we haven't had much of it lately.
Years ago, there was a lot of comedy with Adam and Stuart in that whole situation.
Marion hasn't been around. Marion always used to provide comedy, as did Opal.
Right, and it seems like that's just all missing.
It seems like they've cut the joy out of the program, from what I can see. It just seems kind of joyless.
The other thing that I wanted to ask you about was the fact that this week I was reading an article on another website, that's one of the TV Guide websites, and they led me to believe that Levin Ramblin is seriously considering leaving at the end of her contract.
She's one of the people that's been rumored for quite some time to be leaving.
Well, apparently her contract is coming up, and what do you think would happen if that took place?
A recast. That seems to be what All My Children's answer to everything. I mean, there are rumors out there that the JR is going to be leaving, and that they already have someone in mind to recast for him.
Who is that? I hadn't heard that.
I don't know who they have in mind. They haven't said, but there's a lot of comments out there that, a recast is imminent if he decides to leave.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised if Levin decided to leave. I mean, she's very hot commodity right now. Everybody's talking about her. I heard about her before I heard about anything else on All My Children when I first started watching. She's a very talented young actress. She seems to have a lot of scope and range, and it might do well for her career if she did leave. As far as the program goes, I think she might be the last vestige of heart and soul it has left. So,
well, considering we don't see Myrtle anymore.
Exactly.
There are whispers that Alicia Minshew wants out.
There's also whispers that Thorsten Kays wanted out, too.
I was going to ask you guys about that. I actually, somewhere in my travels, read where it said Kay is out. And yeah. Immediately I thought that maybe this whole thing on One Life to Live with Marty and they never found Patrick's body, that maybe it was some kind of a tie-in. But that's just my imagination going to work.
Well, I had not heard that, but maybe it's out there. I had not seen
ABC
it.
ABC has not confirmed, obviously, because ABC doesn't like to confirm things. But rumor has it that in January, Susan Haskell is in.
Oh, and the fans will go crazy.
Yes, and that this is for the fans, because fans couldn't stand the horrible recast.
Well, and we certainly don't know what kind of chemistry that John McBain will have with Susan Haskell's Marty. So it might be very disconcerting.
No, we don't, but if they are going to be bringing Patrick back into the mix,
exactly.
We know Susan Haskell and Thorsten Kay have lots of chemistry.
Yes, they do. They were, the first time they fell in love, it was so sweet. I fell in love at the same time.
Well, I think part of it was because it was on screen and off screen,
I did not know that. I used to be spoiler free, so I don't have a lot of the older gossip.
Well, they're married. Well, they're either married. They're married, right?
Yeah, they're married in real life.
Well, my goodness, you learn something new every day.
Well, it's just interesting to see what's happening, because then also in the main podcast, which if you haven't checked out, you'll need to, Lisa was saying that one of the East Coast ABC soaps, an actress on there was complaining about things that were going on, and it's hard to imagine that would be One Life to Live, considering how brilliant it is these days.
That's true. From our perspective, it might be different behind the scenes.
There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes on One Life to Live, because it has to do with things in between actors and actresses that are going on behind the scenes that we don't see on camera.
Oh, most definitely.
Right, I had heard that also, and then they also have the firing of Nathaniel Marston that just came out this last week. Or am I late on that news? Was that 2 weeks ago?
That was last week, but yes, I mean...
Yeah, they recasted him with a gentleman by the name of Chris Stack, who is definitely coming into a horrible, horrible situation.
Oh, most definitely.
Yes.
He's getting a backlash that he doesn't really deserve. He's the kind of innocent.
But do you think he's really getting a backlash? I haven't read anything so far. Have you?
Well, most people have just said they should have just, been done with the Michael McBain character.
Well, they could have just put him in jail is what they could have done.
Well, they couldn't.
He went and...
They don't have any writers.
Oh. You would think that they would have written an alternative, considering the fact that this came up,
Well, this is, they're saying that this recast is in direct correlation to the writer's strike, because they could not adjust the script based on...
So they have to go with, I understand.
Based on ABC's actions, so they had to follow the script, therefore they needed someone to say those lines, because they couldn't scrap the scenes entirely.
So they got themselves a warm body, and they just hope that it's not going to bomb completely.
Right.
Oh,
well, we'll have to give him a fair shake. Maybe he's hot.
Well, and here's the thing, though. If Kathy Breyer leaves, then this guy is going to be getting the short end of both ends of the stick.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this guy is in here for the short term. I have a feeling either once the writers come back or the scab writers or whatever they decide to do, This character is going to be written off, and we're never going to see Michael McBain again, and we're never going to see this guy again, and he's getting really short shrift.
Yeah, he's getting short sheeted for sure. But look at it this way. If the guy comes on our screen and captures something that we haven't seen in this role before, the soap fans will react to that. How many times have chemistry just come off the television set and in, you know, captures our attention, and then the behind the scenes fan reaction could kick in and save the character?
But it also depends on who he's has interaction with when he first arrived, and his current story doesn't really have anything in it that would allow him to interact with any women his age.
That's true.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't even know if he's even going to be sharing any scenes with Kathy Breyer. It's kind of an odd situation. We'll see what happens. Speaking of chemistry and fans wanting people to stay on screen, there's a big push to keep Stephen Macht, Trevor Lansing, on General Hospital and to extend his contract.
Ooh.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, before
neither am I. I think the man is brilliant.
Oh, he's pretty good. But before we get to General Hospital, what did you think of the Aces Will reading this last week? And what did you think of Vicky in trying to avoid Dorian and Alex? I thought it was brilliant.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm loving everything right now on One Life to Live. It's
Me
campy.
Too.
It's funny. They have a good mix of comedy.
A good mix of everything, the age groups.
Seeing vets, we're seeing new characters. They're actually giving Jared quite an introduction.
And he deserves it. I like the character.
They also, strictly, One Life to Live the last couple of months is an example of how to save a soap opera from certain doom.
Well, except for the fact that the ratings are down.
I can't believe that either. It must just be people tuning out, not giving it a chance, because the story,
I don't know,
everything's improved.
There is so much buzz for One Life to Live. Leads me to believe that maybe, you know, the whole rating system is not what it's cracked up to be.
I've been saying that for a while now, just because of the fact that DVR ratings are now such an important factor in it.
I can't remember the last time I watched live TV unless I was watching a sporting event.
Yeah, I mean, the only time you ever watch soap, or at least that I ever watch soaps live now, is if I'm sick or at home. And that doesn't happen very often.
Sure. Have you heard any of the spoilers for One Life to Live?
No, tell us.
Jared's going to go rip hair out of David so he can pass the DNA test to make himself Ace's son.
Oh, how delicious is
that's
that?
That's going to be good.
And yeah, see, but his daddy's coming to town.
I know,
think
but
that's
why
the guy Vicky's messing with?
Oh, most definitely.
Oh, yes, it is.
Most definitely.
Absolutely.
No question.
And I have a feeling that Gigi.
Oh,
is
totally.
His girlfriend.
I think that the boy, Gigi's
the boy
is Jared,
his.
Most definitely.
Yeah,
I've been saying
very
that
for, surprised.
I've been saying that for a long time now, but just because, I mean, in part because I really want a Gigi Natalie Jared triangle really bad.
Well, did anybody else catch a little vibe between the other waitress? What is the other waitress? Vicky, Gigi, and you know how bad I am with names.
I cannot remember her name either, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
I caught a nice little vibe between her and the chef. They were playing off each other about this bake-off. With the pie.
Yes, and, the pie thing.
I thought, that wouldn't they make just the cutest mix-match couple?
They would, but unfortunately, I don't think once we leave Paris, Texas behind, that the chef will leave just because he likes his
now
cafe
he's
so
kind
much.
Of in Campton. I think we're going to get Gigi. We're going to get this Charlie.
I think that's who we're going to get, those two plus the child.
And that'll be a shame. I wish there was some way to incorporate a little bit more of it. I don't know if it's...
I guess he can come to visit.
The only thing that else could make it great would be if all of a sudden he became... if he became Vicky's personal chef at home.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Or
she could decide to start the Paris, Texas Bonjour in Landview.
There you go.
And bring him to Landview.
The other,
what do they have? They have the hotel and they have the diner, and that's it.
Well, see, I
and
thought
Rhodes,
he might be good Rhodes. For Carlotta, just because of the fact
that's
that
true.
Him and Carlotta would be fun together. And if
I like Carlotta, we don't see enough of her. Remember back when they tried to do a romance between her and Hank and her and Clint?
Yeah,
no,
No, okay. Well, it would have been good, but they didn't pursue either one of them. They just kind of left it drop. They put a little tease in there and then didn't follow either one of them, so.
Oh, man. This show, totally loving it. I don't know. It's just everything. The only part that's bad, in my opinion, is the Todd hunting for his child part of it. I don't even mind
that
Kathy.
That really is kind of the most boring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The single best thing that they could somehow do is have McBain and David back together in some sort of combo, because David and McBain are a riot.
They did come off well at the end of that when they were in Singapore, and that whole storyline, that they did work well together.
Well, and then when David had...
funny, and it was comedy. And you know what? Todd and John have been pretty good on this drive. Actually, I thought they were pretty great together until...
Till the women showed up.
Till the women showed up.
Yeah.
The women so did not belong there.
Well, it was better than I expected, Todd and John on the chase there. I was, you know, rolling my eyes, but it wasn't near as bad as I was expecting it to be.
I have to say this. I know that General Hospital always does sweeps well. I have not been disappointed with it. Tina, what had you mentioned earlier about Trevor?
Oh, well, like I said, there's some people trying to drum up support for a campaign to keep Stephen Mocked, Trevor Lansing, on screen after his initial stint ends. Which is supposed to be soon, because the fans are really enjoying his character.
I'll tell you what I really like about it, if you don't mind me jumping in here.
Oh, not
is Trevor's coming to the show and bringing that backstory has given us some depth to Rick that he's been missing for a very long time. We wanted a backstory on him right after he got away with holding Carly hostage, and we didn't get that. So I think that this is long overdue. Stephen Mocked is doing a wonderful job, and I think it's fleshing out the people that are already on the canvas. So I wouldn't have a problem with him staying at all.
Here's the only thing. I mean, I totally agree with you from that standpoint. My only question would be is, who would they pair him with? Because if it's going to be Nancy Lee Grahn, I just don't want to see her sleep with yet another Lansing Corinthos
relative. Yeah.
I just don't want it.
To be honest, I think he would be great with Tracy.
Oh, if they break Tracy and Luke up, I'll be heartbroken.
Don't say.
Well, they don't have to break them up, but I mean, it could be something interesting. I also think he would be great for Monica.
I was wondering.
He's in Monica's age group. Yeah.
Well, anything to get Monica back on our screen.
Exactly.
Oh,
I miss Leslie Charlson so much.
The promos for when she tells Jason to get out of her life.
I haven't seen them yet.
Oh, no, I have not.
Well, like he's already in her life? What, she's hallucinating he's part of it and she can throw
him
out?
No, what did she say? You're all I have left and I don't want you. Get out.
Good to see Leslie getting something.
It's about damn time, though, you know?
Well, yeah, she's got way too much fire to be sitting on the back burner.
Well, and let's face it, Monica and Edward have needed to tell off Jason for a very long time.
Yeah.
Oh, and we had some beautiful Skye and Edward scenes, from what I understand. Because Skye is going to tell Edward that Emily is gone.
Oh, that's going to be rough.
And did you see that Guza did some sort of interview?
And said
that they've already left the door open for Emily to come back.
That's nice.
You know, I just wish he would stop doing interviews. Seriously. Why?
I mean,
me too. I'm with you.
You know, I just don't understand.
If you were going to leave the door open, why would you just not write her off?
Yeah, in Natalia Livingston's exit interview, there is a quote. Guza told her the door is open for her return, and he's even got some ideas about it.
But that could also mean the fact that, I mean, she does this ghost thing that's been being reported.
Right, but regardless, if there was ever any thought of keeping Emily alive, why kill her?
They're short-sighted is what it is. General Hospital is notoriously bad at looking at the big picture. They want to sew everything up for right now, and they will sacrifice any history, any character development, any growth to satisfy a temporary situation.
I mean,
they've been doing it for years.
All my children, they wrote Greenlee off. They didn't kill her. They brought her back. To me, they made a horrible casting choice in the actress.
Well, you're not by yourself thinking that.
But, I mean, the actress is back on the canvas. She may be doing some things that are not quite what we would think that Greenlee would do.
The character's back on the canvas.
Right. But the character's back on the canvas, and you can work with that.
Exactly.
It's like now they've completely trashed Emily for what purpose? Trashed her, killed her.
To be fair, though, at least she's not getting thrown in the back of a trunk and then doesn't actually have an on-screen funeral, as happened to Justice.
That's true. That was so sad.
Well, to me, this is all about, Emmy kind of nominating work, because Tyler Christopher has got an Emmy reel here.
Oh, most definitely. He has a nomination locked.
When I saw the scenes between Jason and Monica, like I said, there's a couple of clips that are out there. I'll post them on the blog so people can see them.
We have to tell people about that.
Yes, we
do.
We told them about it in the main. We told them in the main podcast, but we want to remind them. So
it's she's got, even though she hasn't been on screen very long, I mean, you could honestly say she's got a good amount of work for a supporting actress. Now, we're all saying all the wonderful things about, GH's sweeps. Can somebody please explain to me how superhero Jason can't just shoot Zakara from, 5 feet away and has to jump up on the parapet instead?
Oh, I totally agree with you. I mean, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Can we use the word lame? Because that really seems to apply. Limp might also do it.
Well, and while we're at it, though, can we discuss the whole paternity reveal, since I got taken to a task and email about that?
Sure.
We probably need to.
We finally have it. Jason is now the father of Liz's child, officially.
I'm so glad it's over.
Lucky knows. Sam, of course, didn't do much to help out with the whole thing. What do you guys think? In-depth analysis.
There was a lot of character development for Jason. For him coming forward and being honest.
Yeah, I have to agree. It really cut Sam's power off, is the reason that I thought it was a good move for him. Because she was just going to keep tormenting him and Liz with it until she was able to force one of them to do it, or she did it herself.
Right. But I really feel that Jason stepping up into that opening that he was given. And, I mean, other than right when the baby was born and with the kidnapping, he really hasn't had a huge opportunity to tell Lucky himself.
Well, and here, that's the other question I have. What do you think this does for the character development of Lucky? Because Lucky always ends up being the victim in everything. And now, once again, he's going to be the victim of the fact that his ex-wife slept with another man, and his child is not really his own child.
Right.
Well, he made himself a victim. I feel no sympathy for Lucky Spencer in any way, shape, or form.
Well,
he may have made his choices, but at the same time, the thought of any parent losing their child, you got to feel sorry for the character.
The parent.
You got to feel sorry for him from that context.
No, I don't. I have no sympathy for the character. They have written him so horribly. I don't even think he's a Spencer. I think there was some changed at birth. Maybe Helena substituted somebody who wasn't Lucky Spencer. I mean, ever since he chose to become a cop, to me, he is not a Spencer. There is something wrong with that boy. There are actually some people online speculating that he may be a killer, one of the killers.
Well, that would be interesting.
That would not surprise me. I mean, considering the fact that, I wouldn't put it past Helena to turn to, like, have him have some sort of, like, memories implanted or some sort of, like, a trigger where she has him start killing people. That would not surprise me after he was held captive for all those years.
And it might even get Helena back on screen, which
would
be wonderful.
Oh, no kidding. Absolutely love that.
In my column, my next column coming up where I talk about GH, I mentioned this about Lucky, how they have put him in the same niche that they had Xander and AJ in. You know, he's the whipping boy. He's the sad sack. And you're right, the writing's very disturbing. It's not right for the character of Lucky, but they've just moved him into that whipping boy position. GH has to have a loser so that Jason and Sonny can triumph over them, and right now that's Lucky.
Well, I mean, AJ was sacrificed at the altar of Jason, and now Lucky is
absolutely
going the same way.
I agree.
Well, and I think the other thing is, in some respects, Jason's behavior towards Nicholas this last week also sort of reminded me of the fact that Nicholas was being sacrificed on the altar of Jason and Sonny this last week as well. It's like it all comes back to...
Not so much.
Well, I know, but for that...
Not to the extent to what they've done to Lucky.
But I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's an instance where you start, now that it's happened to Lucky so badly, you're starting to see it happen to other characters to a lesser extent, which could potentially grow over time, because you know that Jason's not going to be too happy with Nicholas, and so there's going to be some sort of battle that starts there, and Nicholas will lose.
Well, definitely. They set them up
Jason
to lose.
Jason has it in his mind right now that Nicholas killed Emily. There is no doubt in Jason's mind that Nicholas is the killer.
And I'm sure we're going to have to put up with him being quite angry about it.
Right. And I think this is your new source of conflict for Elizabeth and Jason, because Elizabeth's not going to believe it.
No, she's not going to be able to see.
And
that
may I just say,
of that.
Liz Herbst,
Rebecca Herbst,
Lisa nominated her as the performer of the week this week for her post. And I just have to say, I nominated Tyler Christopher, she nominated Rebecca Herbst. But it was one of those things where this just reminded me of how great of an actress Liz can be, Rebecca Herbst can be, because... She is so good at stepping up and doing those scenes, and it's sort of in some ways seeing the pain and agony that she was in took me back to the days just following her rape, where everything was so raw and emotional. It reminded me of that in some respects, and it was like, you know, she's one of the most underrated actresses, younger actresses in daytime. She doesn't have the flashy character personalities that a lot of other
kind of locked in almost into a goody two shoes type of character.
Yes, but
which is the kiss of death on soaps, to be a good person.
Her blessing is that she's a good person involved with a hitman.
Right. And she can't keep her bloomers on.
Oh, well, she can keep her bloomers on a lot better than some other people on that show.
Right, but she, you know, that's what keeps Elizabeth on our screens. Is the fact that, you know, she's been involved with Jason.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say that there for several years there, she did not get any stories worthy of her talent.
Well,
no, she didn't.
I mean, it was sort of, there was the rape storyline, Jonathan Jackson left, she went through a giant lull after the Xander stuff, and then...
Well, she was there with Jason and Xander, and then she went into a lull, then she was with Rick for a while, and then she went into yet another lull. And I know lot of the lulls
and
were
both
dictated
lulls...
by...
Her pregnancies, her real life pregnancies.
Yeah.
True.
That's what started them, but it took her too long to come back off the back burner.
Right.
The thing is, though, I think that in part because she is a more of a goody-goody character, and every show needs those, and there's very few goody-goodies that I normally like, but I really do like her. And it just seems like nowadays, I'm glad that a show like General Hospital, when you have Lulu, who's being Carly 2.0, when you have Carly...
I hate that.
When you have Sam, and then you have Maxie, it's like sometimes General Hospital specifically just seems like bitch overload.
Well, no, they have Liz, they've always had Liz, and you know, now they
and
have
Robin.
Well, I know, but what I'm just saying...
They're kind of the perennial good girls. I'm not really
happy
about what's going on.
And Laura, she was the perennial
on.
Good girl.
Well,
I'm not very happy about what's going on with Georgie.
That just makes me so mad.
I'm very unhappy about that. Like, they killing off another member of a core family. Historically, they're just wiping GH off the map, and I don't understand... why they can't see what a bad idea that is.
Well, because they're doing it because Maxie's more of an entertaining character than Georgie is, because Georgie's a goody-goody. And
you have to have good girls
I know,
and good
but
boys for the bad ones to be interesting.
Exactly.
What are they going to contrast?
They have not either tried to or have been able to find someone who has good chemistry with Georgie, at least in their opinion. There's a lot of people who like right. G-Spin, but apparently G-Spin does not have the chemistry that they're looking for.
They were never given a chance on screen.
No, they weren't.
They weren't given the chance that we would hope for, but by their standards, they were given a chance.
I mean, there was no actual type of... I mean, you saw little bits of romance on her face, but Spinelli was oblivious through the entire thing.
It's just been clueless.
There was never any acknowledgement that, you know, a relationship was even possible.
So what do you think of the fact that this will bring back Felicia to the cast, and reportedly it could be for a longer stay?
Yeah, but what point once her family's decimated?
Well, she still has Maxie.
She should have been there these last couple of years.
Well, I've read a couple of different reports. From what I understand, she's going to come back in the aftermath of Georgie's death, if these spoilers are accurate.
Well, she's coming back.
No, but she's going to be coming back because, once again, GH Recycling, which is what it does best, supposedly Georgie will be giving Maxie her heart.
Oh, so this is the story that they meant to do the last time they wanted to bring Felicia back, and they could not get her and had to recast.
Right. So now they're going to be doing a story where Maxie is going to be getting Georgie's heart. At least that seems to be the story right now. I don't know if that's actually going to be true or not. There's so many conflicting spoilers out there right now.
So then
the spoilers have been particularly far off mark in the last 6 months, haven't they? They've really thrown up some red herrings and got some misinformation out there.
Well, what it is there's echoes of truth
in all of
in
them.
The spoilers. But you have to dig. I mean, they were insistent that there was going to be someone that looked like Sakaara's wife. Everybody thought it was going to be Emily. And in the end, it was Layla.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, there are all these spoilers that were out there, and they all had bits of truth in them. I think this is being done on purpose to kind of keep
us on our toes.
Fans guessing. Which, you know what, actually is part of the fun.
It is. I mean, it's becoming a cat and mouse game, and it's one of those things where you have to adapt to the thing, because it used to be where you could take and get spoilers and they'd be somewhat accurate, but because it was ruining so much and the fans were getting so upset about the stuff that they were finding out ahead of time, I think they're upping their game.
Well, I don't think it's just that. I honestly think that they're putting the fake spoilers out there, or, you know, the nuggets of truth hidden in the dross, and you kind of got to sift through it and find it. But in the end, they are actually putting it out there so they can see what fans say.
True. Well, I want to ask your guys' opinion real quick. I want you to choose between one or the other. When it comes to Lulu, Logan or Johnny? Belinda?
Oh, Lord. What about lobotomy?
No. Logan or Johnny, one of the two. Who do you choose for her?
Oh, they're both horrendous.
Pick one.
Johnny.
Tina.
Oh, come on. One of them is going to be the new mob boss, and I think Linda's the other one is the killer. So guess what? None.
Oh, come on. You guys are no
she
fun.
She chooses lobotomy, too.
You guys, listeners, we would encourage you to visit our new site, daytimeconfidential.com, where we're going to be posting the news. Tina's going to post the previews for this next week, I guess it is, or upcoming scenes for promos for General Hospital. Reagan will be posting the General Hospital spoilers there on a daily
She's
basis.
She's good, too.
And she is good. She goes and finds stuff that you wouldn't necessarily find. We hope that you enjoy it. Also, the email address has changed. You can now email us at podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. We will be keeping the TV Fan Online forums open. The TV Fan Online forums will be the central forums for both websites, both tvfanonline.com and daytimeconfidential.com. The one thing that you need to remember is that they have two different user accounts, so as long as you register with the same name and same password, you should be able to get into both of them, and then you don't have to run into any problems. We would encourage you to check it out, and we hope that you do. Until next time, we thank you for listening. So long, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.